from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. State Assembly Democrats have unveiled a budget blueprint for the coming fiscal year. They suggest spending about $3.5 billion on reducing poverty, expanding early childhood education, and boosting financial aid for college students, all the while putting away billions more in a rainy day fund. Where is all this cash going to come from? The recovering economy and a temporary tax hike voters passed last year. In any case, budget negotiations really begin in January, when Governor Jerry Brown releases his spending plan proposal. Governor Brown has a couple more months to reduce the state's prison population. Federal judges have given the administration until April 18th after asking prison officials to do something about some 230 mentally ill prisoners parked in isolation cells. The state of health care in the prisons is what sparked federal court oversight of prisons in the first place. This extension gives all parties a chance to see how the governor proposes to fund prisons in the budget he's releasing next month. L.A. County's Sheriff Lee Baca has been in the seat for 15 years, and he's running for a fifth term atop the largest jail system in the nation. Four men are running against him, but Baca is still the favorite to win. Even though earlier this week, federal prosecutors indicted 18 deputies, the U.S. Attorney's Office is only the latest in a string of parties railing against what they call a culture of violence inside L.A. County jails. A federal jury recently found Baca personally liable for one incident. You might be tempted to ask, why does this sheriff seem to have a Teflon coating? We asked Frank Stoltz, who covers crime and politics for KPCC in Los Angeles.
I suppose first and foremost, crime in Los Angeles County is down, and that's what people care most about, particularly when it comes to alleged uses of excessive force inside jails. People don't care a whole lot about what happens inside jails because, after all, they're inmates or criminals and accused criminals. In addition, even though Sheriff Baca is a registered Republican, he talks a pretty good progressive game. He's started what he calls educational-based incarceration, where he's providing a lot of classes to inmates. He supports alternative courts, drug courts, and courts for military veterans, where they're provided rehabilitation instead of jail time. And those are ideas that are very popular in overwhelmingly Democratic Los Angeles County.
Baca is facing a number of rivals at the ballot box who come from within the department, but they're not considered squeaky clean either. Does the concerned voter have a real outside alternative this election?
Yeah, the sheriff's chief rival is a former ally, former undersheriff Paul Tanaka, and a jail violence commission about 18 months ago said that then undersheriff Tanaka didn't do enough about preventing excessive use of force inside the jails and even sort of gave it a wink and a nod. Another person running is a whistleblower about jail violence, former sheriff's commander Robert Olmstead. Big questions, though, about whether he has enough political connections, whether he can raise enough money for the race. And the same concerns about another challenger, former Sheriff's Lieutenant Patrick Gomez, who's run against Baca before. And then there's one other candidate, and he is LAPD Sergeant Lou Vince. Again, the questions with him would be, can he raise any money to really be competitive?
I'm wondering if a lot of people will simply say, well, you can't blame the head of a huge agency for everything that happens. 9,000 deputies, 9,000 civilian employees.
Yeah, and that's Sheriff Lee Baca's defense. Look, you know, there may have been some problems, but I didn't know about them. And now that I know about them, I'm taking measures to reduce the use of force inside L.A. County jails. And indeed, the use of force inside the jails is down. But, you know, a lot of folks also say, look, there have been numerous reports over the years about the use of force inside jails. You should have known about this and you should have done something about it earlier.
Frank Stoltz, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks, Rachel.
Frank Stoltz covers crime and politics for KPCC in Los Angeles. We've got a link to his reportage online at californiareport.org. For the last month, immigration reform activists have been fasting in a tent on the National Mall to keep the heat under federal lawmakers to pass a comprehensive bill. But so far, there's no sign that's going to happen before Congress adjourns for the holidays. DJ Yoon of Los Angeles, who fasted for 22 days before he was finally hospitalized, is getting ready to go home and get out of periodic bouts of freezing rain on the National Mall, where we caught up with him. But he's not ready to give up on immigration reform.
Even though I fasted 22 days, even though I was hungry, even though I was away from my children, I came to think about many millions of families who are separated from their loved one because of the broken immigration reform. But also I met many strong immigrant mom and dad, even though they are separated from their loved one because of the broken immigration system. They really share their powerful story and their never give up effort to their loved one back. I think that was a really important source that kept me going for 22 days.
Cesar Chavez used fasting to raise attention for farm workers in California. And today, labor leader Dolores Huerta will be fasting outside of Congressman Kevin McCarthy's office in Bakersfield. Fasting gets the attention, obviously, of the news media. But do you think fasting is an effective strategy to get Congress to move?
We have a bill passed in the Senate. It's not a perfect, but it's a good start. In the House, we have a very close majority who will pass the comprehensive immigration reform that is in the House. But the Speaker is on the way, and he's not making a right decision. But also, we have a hope that Boehner will listen and open his eye, and then really listen to people's voice that this is not about politics and this is not about policy. This is about family issue and moral issue. So even though something not happened, our commitment for the family, our commitment for the faith that immigration reform happened will continue. We don't have any deadline. We just believe it's a matter of time.
DJ Yun, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
DJ Yun heads the nonprofit National Korean American Service and Education Consortium in Los Angeles. Today, a coalition called Fast for Families will conduct a one-day fast and hold rallies across California and beyond in a last-ditch effort to push for congressional action. That's the California Report for Thursday, December 12th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.